Hidden Gems, exploring history's hilarious footnotes with Sophie Handelman and Rotem Kadosh.
Hello, history buffs and time travel wannabes. This is Hidden Gems with your hosts, Sophie Handelman and Rotem Kadosh, brought to you by Audioversity.
We took it upon ourselves to research obscure moments throughout history so that you don't have to.
Some of these stories are going to sound too crazy to be real, but we assure you, they are.
Whether you're listening to this to improve your historical knowledge or just needed some background noise to fall asleep to, we're here for you and we appreciate your listening.
Let's dive into this week's Hidden Gem.
So welcome back to Hidden Gems. This week we're going to be talking about the Dancing Plague of 1518.
This is actually a really interesting part of history, and we've told a few of our friends about it and they don't believe us that it's even real. But we assure you, it is.
The plague took place in Strasbourg, Alsace, which is now part of France, where a woman named Frau Trophia began dancing in the street. Out of nowhere, this dancing compulsion just spread, and within a month, like 400 people were dancing uncontrollably in the streets following Frau.
Now, let's give you guys a little bit of historical context, because you're thinking to yourself, okay, random chick takes to the streets, she's dancing, what's the big deal? The big deal is, at the time, this was part of the Holy Roman Empire, and a lot of things were going down. There was a lot of poverty, there was a lot of famine, and a lot of the food was cut off to the more impoverished folk. It's summer, right? So this takes place in June or July, and it's hot, and these people are unfed. So I think that also would explain a lot of what's going on.
We'll get into more theories later on, but first we'll just give you the gist. As I said, Frau Trophia starts dancing, and this dancing spreads to other people. Even though we're not quite sure, it ended up just being so many people dancing for weeks. And like Rotem said, it was in July of 1518, very, very hot. And people even started like collapsing in the street of heat stroke, of a heart attack, and needing immediate medical attention. It was really serious.
Yeah, and I read somewhere that as many as 15 people a day would die from this because they were just dancing and dancing and they didn't stop. I'm assuming they didn't stop to eat, they didn't stop to drink, and so they have heart attacks, strokes, exhaustion, collapse, like all these things are going on.
By August, already there were 400 victims of this plague and they would die, literally, either of stroke or heart attack. And no one knew why this was happening, so no one really knew how to put an end to it. By September, it started to die down a little bit because that's when the city council of Strasbourg started taking more initiative and dancers were sent to a mountain shrine to literally pray for their salvation.
This shrine actually belonged to Saint Vitus. He was a lot of people considered him to be the reason behind the dancing because he apparently claimed to have some sort of magical ability that would cause sinners to be cursed with this dancing plague. It was actually referred to as a curse back in those days. And so in this time period, we're fighting between medicine saying, okay, it's hot, these people are hot-blooded and it makes them go into hysteria, versus religion where they're saying this saint is cursing people with this dancing curse.
Right. So from the medical perspective, there are actually historical documents, doctor's notes, sermons, and chronicles that prove like how severe this dancing plague was. And the city council of Strasbourg gave all of the authority to the doctors so that they could just like try and get a hold of the situation.
But I think that was actually probably a mistake because I think that that caused they brought in mariachi bands, right? They brought in pipers, they brought in drummers, and they brought in all this sort of stuff to kind of tell them to just embrace the dance and hopefully they can boogie it away, which I think is funny because it's a dancing plague. You're going to cure it with more dancing? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, literally their main prescription, if you will, was just to dance themselves free of it, it being the plague, of course. But also on the religious side of things, Saint Vitus, who was a Christian martyr from Sicily, they all just thought that they were being punished by him. Like they had so much fear that they were genuinely being punished by the saint, and they were dancing to be free of sin.
That's actually interesting because I thought that they were dancing because they were sinners. I thought that Vitus was the one that put the curse on them. Obviously, this is in 1518, so the historical records aren't so accurate. There's a few different tellings of what really went on there, but I know that what happened was that these people who were afflicted with this dancing plague went to St. Vitus's shrines. They went to get cured, and then it is told that these people were cured afterwards.
Yeah, so visiting the shrine was no like small thing. It had a whole bunch of to-dos, if you will. They had to wear red shoes sprinkled with holy water, and there were hand-painted crosses on the tops of the shoes and the soles. They also had to hold small crosses in their hands and light incense inside the shrine and say Latin incantations. They were really doing everything that they could to escape this sin that they thought that they were under.
Yeah, that's one way to get people to convert to your religion, right? Bring them. I actually think it's really interesting that these people would go to the shrine. And thinking about it from like modern perspective, maybe it was very helpful for them to be at the shrine because they were indoors, right? So during this heat, they probably were given like holy water to drink. They were like taken in, and then their hysteria or their dancing curse would go away. I think it might be a coincidence, but also maybe God did have a hand.
Exactly. So the Council of Strasbourg eventually ended up banning public dancing and even banned music. So any Footloose fans out there, I'm sure you can resonate with this. And then eventually the word spread that the people were forgiven by Vitus, and that was the end of the dancing plague. Like, they just were told that they were forgiven, and honestly, someone should have spread that word way earlier so that we could have avoided all of this death and infections and pain and injuries. But then they stopped.
Right. So it's actually interesting because around this time period and around this area, there were other dancing plagues that popped up, right? There was one in modern-day Switzerland and modern-day Germany, I believe, and Luxembourg. Oh, it's not Germany, it's Belgium. But none to this size, right? So there were other places that also had cases of people dancing hysterically. We don't have any definitive answers, but I think it would be interesting now to discuss what we think it could have been.
There have been many different theories that try to explain why this happened. The most popular one was suggested by John Waller. Waller was an American historian. He studied at Oxford, Imperial College in London, UCL. He's also an assistant professor of the history of medicine at Michigan State University. So any Michigan listeners, go blue. Anyways, so he's written many articles on the history of science and medicine. And in 2008, he published his book titled The Dancing Plague, The Strange True Story of an Extraordinary Illness. And it was exactly about this epidemic that we are talking about today. He claims that this plague spread due to stress-induced mass hysteria. He spoke a lot about the weird capabilities of the human mind and how extreme and irrational we act out of fear. So Waller attributes the plague to stress-induced psychosis because the area was struck with starvation and disease, and the people of Strasbourg tended to be very superstitious people. Another theory could maybe explain this plague was that people got food poisoning from ergo fungi that grows on grains for baking bread.
Yeah, I read about that. It said that there's this like toxic mold that grows on damp rye. And I think we can all imagine that time period of being full of probably like mead and like flour and all that sort of earthy things, And I don't think it's crazy to imagine that there would be some sort of fungus or some sort of disease at the time. I think that's definitely a possibility. And it is said that this sort of toxic mold can cause hallucinations and spasms, which I think fit this dancing plague.
Yeah, this fungus has toxic and psychoactive chemical products, and it's structurally related to LSD-25. Ergotamine, which is the main psychoactive product of the ergo fungi, is actually what LSD-25 is synthesized from. So it makes a lot of sense that these people were just tripping balls in the street.
And they're just doing shrooms.
They're literally just on acid. So anyways, Waller doesn't really think that this food poisoning theory is legit because if they were poisoned, they wouldn't have been able to dance for that long, and it probably wouldn't affect everyone in the same way. Like, if I took LSD, I might be dancing in the streets, but Rotem might, I don't know, run to the water and find herself submerged.
Sounds like you've got experience, Sophie.
That's for another episode, Rotem.
I'm just joking. I actually think that it is probably improbable, because if you think about these stories of people that have actually done LSD or mushrooms or whatever, eventually it goes away. These people, they were dancing and dancing and dancing until the point of collapse. Like, I feel like that there has to be something else at play. Like, it might have been the mushrooms, but also maybe it was the doctor's prescription of more music that made them, like, more into it, more dancing, prolonged the exposure. Also the famine, like, being hungry. And, like, I think the hysteria kind of makes more sense.
There's actually a lot of controversy about whether or not people actually did dance to their death, because, like Rotem said earlier, there's some sources that say that there was a period of time where the plague killed about 15 people per day. On the other hand, there's no, like, real sources of the city of Strasbourg that mention the number of deaths or if there even were any deaths.
That's true. I also found a poem written by someone at the time at this event, so if you'll allow me. Many hundreds in Strasbourg began to dance and hop, women and men, in the public market, in alleys and streets, day and night, and many of them ate nothing until at last the sickness left them. This affliction was called St. Vitus's dance.
Snaps. Wow. Very beautiful, very moving. Even though there's a lot of controversy about the deaths, Waller's sources are cited from sources that mention deaths from later accounts. So it's not necessarily from the actual time of the plague during 1518, but more later accounts about it.
This is a really interesting story, and also something that we in today's day can't imagine, right? Like, in this time, it was more of a mystical vibe, right? The Holy Roman Empire, like, so much was going on in the spiritual sense. Like, there's a saint who's critically involved here. So I think there was a lot more hysteria and also a lot more religious belief that the mystical can actually happen. So when these people are going and dancing, it's like a very clear, wow, there's some sort of curse being put on these people. But if we look at it today, we're like, nothing like that could ever happen to us.
I wonder how many TikTok dances would have gone viral from this plague. Like,
it just sounds like a crazy rave. It just sounds like a Coachella.
It's literally Coachella. So they're all on LSD anyways. So. Yeah. Anyways, this plague actually has a lot of influence on today's pop culture and media. Florence and the Machine, I'm personally a big fan. I don't know.
I've heard her music once or twice.
Yeah, Dog Days Are Over.
Oh, great
song. Of course,
song.
Always slaps.
So good.
Anyways, she produced a song in 2022, just last, 2 years ago, I guess. Again,
oh,
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
We're going to say Happy New Year in every episode. Anyways, she produced this song called Choreomania on her album Dance Fever, which, you know.
This is Dance Fever.
Dance Fever, Dance Fever, Dance Fever, Dance. There's also a book series called A Collection of Utter Speculation, and it released a fictional account on the Dancing Plague also in 2022. Other novels have been published, like, by Kieran Millwood Hargave. Sorry if I butchered your name, Kieran. she produced that in 2023 called The Dance Tree, and she wrote about a fictionalized story about what it must have been like experiencing that summer in Strasbourg of 1518.
Would you have wanted to live during that time? Like, would you have wanted to partake in this crazy dancing?
Great question. I actually just, like, imagined myself there, like, I'm visually seeing it in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Wearing a corset and a huge skirt.
Yeah, so the first thing that I thought of was there was no deodorant in this time.
Oh.
Can you imagine what the air must have smelled like? These people vigorously dancing for days, for weeks, for months in the peak of the summer.
Wow, the air is musty.
The air
as
is
heck.
Musty, dusty, crusty, man. I don't know. I mean, listen, I do love a good dance break. I do love a good breaking it down.
Boogie
with it. I think it's kind of interesting also, on the one hand, nice to imagine a time where so many people are just carelessly dancing their worries away. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they're also so afraid that they're probably, I don't even know what they probably looked like. And that's kind of intense. I don't know if I'd want to see that.
It's a little scary for those that had no control, which it seems like none of them really did. But if I can imagine it in, like, today's world, hopefully I'd be able to gain some control over myself. I would hopefully get a cure. I wouldn't collapse from exhaustion. I'd hopefully get a little snack between the boogies. But I feel like the scene of like all the pipers and the drummers and the strong men who are there for like safety, I feel like that vibe of like everyone's just dancing and like there's music and it's fun and it's in the city center. I feel like that's so fun. And sure, I wouldn't want to collapse, but I'd want to go just until I collapse.
Yeah, I'm also like not, unfortunately or fortunately, however way you want to look at it, I'm not the type of girl that can like go all night. Like my ideal going out night is like starting at 10 latest so that I can be home by like 1:30 latest. Like I'm trying to be in bed and asleep by 1:30 because I got stuff to do, you know?
That's fair. I like mornings better than nights.
Like going out in the morning?
No, just like I like Rota,
do you need to talk?
Yeah, all day.
All day, all night.
All day, all night. No, I appreciate being home by 12 because, you know, every day's busy. You gotta get up. You gotta do your stuff. So if you go to sleep too late, it's gonna be very difficult to do that. So I can appreciate going to bed early.
So I think the people who I always look at in awe, the people that can go out every weekend, all in, like,
I don't know if awe is the right word.
I'm kind of in awe. I'm like, how can you rally that hard and for that long? Like these people, like they're literally the definition of rallying. Like
Sophie, we're supposed to be at that age where you can rally, you know, the early 20s. We're supposed to be there with them.
Supposed to is a relative term. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'd rather be at home with some hot cocoa or a chai latte.
I'd definitely rather be watching these dance crazes happening on TV or like on my...
Through your window. Yeah. For sure. There was no TVs at the time.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that. Imagine this happening outside your window. You're trying to sleep and you're just hearing...
No, because at that point, you got to get down and boogie too. You know what I mean? Like there if was you no can't one beat that
him,
was safe.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Join them. So this is a fantastic episode. And if you guys have any questions about the Dancing Plague, or if you guys are interested in more things like this, or if you like the emo war, please get back to us and let us know.
Thanks so much, guys, for tuning into this week's episode of Hidden Gems. It's the podcast where we discuss obscure history they never taught you in school. If you enjoyed today's topic, tune in next week. Especially if you're a Vikings fan, but not the Minnesota kind.
Till next time, Sophie and Rotem out.
Hidden Gems, exploring history's hilarious footnotes with Sophie Handelman and Rotem Kadosh.